What's going on, folks? Andrew Torba here, CEO of Gab.com. We have a slight change to the podcast today. Changing the name up just a little bit to give me some more room to talk about different things that, frankly, I want to talk about. So I hope you guys don't mind. We're going to be changing the name from the Parallel Economy Podcast to the Parallel Christian Society Podcast because I think it more fully captures, you know, a lot of the things that I want to talk about with culture, society, politics, you know, commerce, economics. And of course, the parallel economy is a part of that, right? It's under that umbrella of building a parallel Christian society. But that is sort of the bigger goal here, right? And the concept behind building a parallel Christian society is really quite simple. You know, we're sick of the society, the mainstream society, the post-war Judaic Zionist neoliberal society, Bolshevik society that we're living in. And, you know, I said this a number of years ago, and I got in some big trouble because I tweeted it out. I said, we're building a parallel Christian society because we're sick and tired of living in the Judeo-Bolshevik society. And I think there's a couple of articles about that, and people still cite that tweet. And it's interesting, you know, I've been talking about these issues for a number of years, and it's really thanks to the folks on Gab that I became aware of these issues like the Jewish question, issues like Zionist power and a Zionist occupied government, you know, these things that are sort of coming to light now that everybody is sort of talking about. And, you know, folks in the dissident right, including myself, have stood up and have been talking about these things for a number of years. It's interesting. We go over to X now that Elon has sort of loosened the restrictions, even just ever so slightly. And these things are starting to poke their head out. And, you know, a lot of our guys from Gab have gone back over and are using both at the same time, which is great. We're in an information war. And so the more that we can get out this message, the more that we can get out the truth, because ultimately that is what it is all about. It's not hateful to state obvious truths and for people to, you know, deny the reality of Jewish power, you know, over the media, over, you know, our government, over the banking system, over Hollywood, over technology companies. It's really pervasive, and it's not hateful saying that. I don't say this from a place of malice or from a place of hatred, okay? I say this because it's true. And when someone calls you hateful or someone calls you, you know, anti-Semitic or bigot or a racist or any of these words that they want to throw out, it's designed to silence you. And, you know, I think back to the apostles, you know, especially in the book of Acts, where they were out, you know, sharing the gospel and spreading the gospel to the Gentiles and also to the Jews, you know, in early church history. And they had to speak boldly. You know, imagine Paul, you know, waltzing into town, going into the synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. That took a big backbone, right? Or, you know, proclaiming the gospel to the Gentiles. You know, this is tremendous amount of bravery and of courage and of speaking the truth. And we have to do that today. You know, as Christians in America today, we live rather comfortably. We can spread the gospel pretty freely. We can practice our faith relatively freely. You know, we are certainly under persecution from those who control our government and those who control the media and those who control the banks and those who control pretty much all of every facet of power in society. But, you know, we still have relative freedom to be able to speak the truth. And thanks to the First Amendment in the United States, we're able to talk about these things and not be thrown in prison, at least not yet. Although, of course, when you think about it, some people are being thrown in prison for exercising their First Amendment rights to protest and to assemble. You know, the folks at January 6th, for example, who are, you know, being tried and prosecuted and sitting in jail as we speak right now for that. And so there's some of that going on, but it isn't as widespread yet, although it could get there. And so that's why I think it's important for us to talk about these things right here, right now. You know, it's incredible the amount of people that are sort of waking up to the reality of the situation that we're in. And, you know, again, it doesn't come from a place of hatred. You know, I don't hate Jews. I don't envy Jews. That's the other counter that I see a lot of people say, is that you're just envious, right? Well, no, I don't want to run the porn industry. I don't want to run the media. You know, it's it's sort of absurd. You know, the envy card is really interesting, because, you know, there's nothing to be envious about. Okay, it's not about envy. It's about, we don't like the way that they are running things. They are the ones running things, and so what are we to do about that? Well, you know, we tried voting, and that is just sort of a waste of time at this point, because they've rigged the elections and they have these voting machines and this ballot harvesting and, you know, all the other tools and mechanisms, the pallet full of ballots at 3 a.m. boarding up the windows. We saw it all, right? I think a lot of us have sort of a short-term memory, but, you know, they did it in 2020. They did it in 2022. They're going to do it again in 2024. And so, you know, the existing system, all of it is, it seems to be collapsing. And as more and more people come sort of to grips with the truth, you know, I think that it's going to present new opportunities for new systems of government, new systems of commerce, new systems of communicating, new systems of technology, you know, new churches. You know, it's sort of like we're hitting, you know, they talk about the Great Reset, and they're sort of not wrong with that. But if they're going to hit the Great Reset, that is also an opportunity for us to rebuild sort of from scratch. And this is something that, you know, we've done before as Christians. We've done this many times before. And so, you know, we have to be prepared to build. We have to be prepared to talk about these things, not from a place of hatred. Again, it's not something hateful. We don't have malice in our hearts. You know, as Christians, as a Christian myself, my hope and my prayer is that the Jews come to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm honestly earnest about that. That's the God honest truth. That is my sincere prayer, that the Jewish people would come to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because that would be revolutionary. Can you imagine if every Jew on earth right now converted to Christianity, what that would do for the planet? It would be remarkable what that would do for the kingdom of God. It would be remarkable. And it's something that we should earnestly pray for. But, you know, in the meantime, we shouldn't be afraid to speak boldly about the people that are in positions of power. You know, if it was another group of people in the positions of power, I would be openly talking about that too, that we're sort of dragging our society, dragging Western culture, dragging Western society, dragging, you know, Christendom down the tubes over really the past century, you know, post-World War II. If there was another group that was doing that, I would openly be talking about that as well. And you can see that, you know, we're allowed to sort of talk about certain groups. We're allowed to talk about, you know, for the past 20 years in this country, across every mainstream media outlet, you're allowed to talk about the Muslims. You're allowed to talk about, you know, the Chinese, the Chi-Coms, right? You know, there's no, you're a bigot if you're talking about that. You're a racist if you're talking, you're an Islamophobe. Now, of course, some on the left are saying that, but, you know, this is acceptable discourse on the right. But if you dare mention the word Jew, if you dare mention the word Zionist, if you dare talk about Israel in any way that can be conceived as not, you know, on your knees and singing the praises of it in any way, shape, or form, you'll be destroyed. And, you know, we've seen that time and time and again. But what's happened is sort of enough of us have stood up, and enough of us have spoken the truth boldly about this topic. And again, it comes from a place of love. You know, I love my country. I love our people. I love the church. I love Christ. And I love the truth. And you know, I'm not going to sort of cower in fear when the truth is staring us right in the face of who's in the positions of power, who's in the positions of authority, and what they're doing to our country and to our people and to the West at large. Okay. So, you know, more and more people are coming to this realization, especially with, you know, the atrocities that are going on in Gaza right now. You know, the genocide, the mass genocide of children. You know, it's sort of waking a lot of people up. Now, on the right, and particularly in evangelical circles, we have this big problem of, you know, the gospel of Zionism. And this problem is pervasive, where people, you know, mistakenly are deceived, and you kind of have to empathize with them a little bit, because it's all they've ever been taught. You know, if you have been going to church for
40 or 50 years. And, you know, you listen to your pastor and you listen to, you know, all these prominent evangelical voices, these prominent Christian voices telling you that, you know, God blesses Israel and God blesses those who bless Israel and all these things. National Israel, by the way. And that's the difference, is if you read your Bible, there's two different Israels. There's true Israel, which is the people of God. We are the temple. We are the people of God. We are God's chosen people as Christians. And the Bible is very clear about that. And then there's national Israel. And national Israel, since AD 70, has not had any biblical significance whatsoever. None. And so people are trying to tie modern day Israel. Christians, you know, have been deceived by the Scofield Reference Bible, for example, you know, which is Darby and Scofield, who were funded by Zionists to sort of propagate this Zionist ideology and this Zionism gospel throughout the American church, you know, for the past 100 years. You know, these type of ideas are nowhere, found nowhere in church history for, you know, 1900 plus years. They're even found today. You know, if you look at the church around the world, a lot of these ideas are sort of you know, abnormal to the Christian faith, with the exception of evangelical churches in America. And so that's a big problem, and we have to speak the truth about that. We have to speak especially biblical truth on that, because, you know, what has happened in the American church is the American church has lifted up Israel and has lifted up the Jewish people, who, by the way, reject Christ, hate Christ, spit on Christians in Israel, and has turned them into an idol, and has turned them into sort of a racial supremacist idol, is really what it is. It's elevating the Jewish people and saying, and it's a hindrance, by the way, it's a stumbling block to the testimony to the Jews, because, you know, it's Christians wrongly believe that they get an excuse and that they're still God's chosen people, even though they rejected Christ. And that's just not the case. You know, Jesus tells us no one comes to the Father but through him. And if they reject him, then they are not of the Father as well. It's just that simple. And it doesn't matter what their ethnic, you know, background is. It, you know, there's neither Jew nor Greek. We're in the new covenant, folks. I think a lot of people sort of don't understand, you know, what Christ accomplished. And they're wishing for, you know, a third temple to be built, which is just not in scripture as well. And it would undermine the work that Christ did on the cross. The temple, the second temple, was destroyed in AD 70. God has never allowed it to be rebuilt again for a reason, because God is not dwelling in a physical building anymore. He's not dwelling in a physical temple anymore. He's dwelling in us. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us as Christians. And so we are the temple. Again, the New Testament is very clear about this. And, you know, for some reason, Christians want to go back. You know, they think that by building the third temple, it's going to usher in the second coming and usher in the end of the world. And meanwhile, we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God inside of us to build things, to create things, to stop all these things that are going on in our countries and in our homes and in our hearts. And, you know, we're instead of doing that, we're worshiping the false God and the idol of Israel and of ethnic Jews. And we're afraid to talk about these things. You know, these things, if you, as a Christian, if you cannot talk about Judaism, if you cannot talk about Jews, you know, that's a core tenet of our faith, is being able to discuss these topics from a theological standpoint, from a political standpoint, from a societal standpoint. If we can't have these conversations, then we can't practice our faith. How are we supposed to witness to the Jewish people if we cannot, you know, confront them about their error, the error of their ways? It's not going to be possible, because we're afraid of being called an anti-Semite. Well, you know what? First century Christians were put to death. You know, Christians all throughout history have been martyred, and you're afraid of being called a name for speaking God's truth, for speaking the truth of the Bible, for speaking the truth of the gospel, and sharing your gospel witness with Jewish people. Shame on you. Your fear is a stumbling block. Your fear of what? Being called a word. Okay. You think about this, and it's not just that word. You know, it's, you know, when we're talking about racial issues and things of that nature, you're afraid to bring up these subjects because we're cowards. We're cowards. We're afraid to talk about these things because we're afraid of being called a word. And when that spell has been broken, because that's what it is, it's spell casting. It's like literal witchcraft. If you're afraid of being called a word, then you're under a spell. Okay. And when you break that spell through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can start to come to a realization and speak the truth boldly, as so many Christians before us have done. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to build a parallel Christian society, we have to have sort of a groundwork. And I got a lot of I got in trouble a lot for this too, when I said that if we're going to build a parallel Christian society, if we're going to build, you know, a parallel Christian political movement like Christian nationalism, well, then the leaders in that in this movement, in this idea to build a new Christendom, to build a new parallel Christian society, it has to be led by Christians. Okay. The leadership positions, they have to be Christians. It's just that simple. And for some reason, that was incredibly controversial, right? I said, you know, we don't want people that reject Christ, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Hindu, whether, you know, take your pick, right? Whether they're pagans. We want Christians, and specifically Christian men, in the positions of authority in this movement, whether it be Christian nationalism or building Christian businesses or building a parallel Christian society. You know, that's what it just has to be, because otherwise we're just going to get a repeat of what we have today. We're too tolerant. You know, I think as Christians, we tend to have maybe too much empathy for people that do not share our worldview, do not share our faith. And that's what got us into the situation that we're in right now in this country and in many countries in the West around the world. And, if we're going to solve that problem, we sort of have to have a baseline for entry. And that baseline to entry is Christ is Lord. It's just that simple. And so if that's controversial, if that's taboo, if that offends you, I don't really care. You know, I don't really care, because that's just the way it is. So, you know, the reason I bring up this topic is, you know, tonight was sort of a very interesting pivotal moment, you know, on this topic, because Elon Musk sort of is taking note. And we'll look at this tweet that he replied to here, and he responded and he said, "You have said the actual truth," which is sort of acknowledging that what this person is saying is the truth, because it is. So this guy says, okay, Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. I'm deeply disinterested in giving the tiniest shit now about Western Jewish populations coming to the disturbing realization that those hordes of minorities that they support flooding into their country don't exactly like them too much. You want the truth said to your face? There it is. And so you have Elon replying to this and saying, "You have said the actual truth," which a lot of people are sort of like, wow, Elon is actually acknowledging this. You know, it seems to be that he's sort of waking up. And I think that he knows a lot more about the situation that he leads on. And you know, you cannot see the content that is flooding X and is flooding really the whole internet now. You know, it seems that like Jonathan Greenblatt earlier this week was blaming TikTok. It's like, dude, it's not just TikTok. You know, it's of course it's all over Gab. It's been all over Gab. People have been speaking the truth about these things all over Gab, you know, since Gab launched 7 years ago. But now that has sort of spread out and has spread to X and has spread to Facebook and has spread to TikTok. And has spread all over the web. And what we're seeing really is a generational divide. You know, obviously the older generation that has, you know, unfortunately been subjugated to, you know, decades and decades of Zionist propaganda with the media and with movies and with entertainment. It's pretty much, you know, imagine every facet of your entire life, of your entire existence has been telling you one thing. And the truth that is presented to you is not matching what you have been told for your entire life. You're going to have some cognitive dissonance. So my heart goes out to those folks. You know, many of them just won't see it, and they'll refuse to see it. They'll refuse to see the truth, even if it's staring right in front of their face. Even if you open up the Bible and show them line by line, you know, what God's word says about these topics. Unfortunately, many just will not believe it. But the younger generations, on the other hand, and you know, that's not all of them. It's not all the older generations. There are many that are seeing it, that are a part of the, I don't want to write off the whole generation. We don't want to do that, because there are many in the older generations who are coming to realize the truth and are accepting the truth of the reality of our situation. And, you know, they're joining in the battle too, and getting the word out about this stuff. So it's not all, there are certainly some, but certainly in the younger generations, we're seeing sort of a mass awakening about the reality of the situation of who is in the positions of power and what they believe. And it's not what, you know, Christians believe, and it's not what the values that these that our country and that the West at large have been founded on. And so, you know, I think, you know, the truth can only be suppressed for so long. And with the internet, the truth can spread like wildfire, right? And we're seeing that sort of happen right now. So, and I think we're going to continue to see it happen. So, you know, on these things, again, we're not approaching this from a position of hatred or of malice. You know, it's from a position of truth. And, you know, I've seen many Jewish people too that are speaking about this truth and are raising the alarm and saying, hey, we got to stop doing this. And so, you know, we can't be afraid to talk about these things is what I'm trying to say. If we're going to build a parallel Christian society, you know, we have to be able to truthfully and honestly examine what is wrong with the existing society and why it has gone so far off track. In order to do that, you have to say, okay, who is actually running the existing society? And then when you figure that out, you have to say, okay, what is the common denominator here? And then when you figure that out, you say, what are their values? How do their values, you know, compare to the values of the majority of the people in this country and in the West? And they're just diametrically opposed. And that's not hateful to say that. I'm not saying that from a place of hatred. I'm saying it from a place of someone who loves the truth and someone who wants to speak the truth boldly, as we have, as Christians have been commanded to do. And so I think that it's been interesting. I sort of have stepped back for, you know, about a month now, and I've just been sort of observing, because it's wild. It's like, you know, those of us on the dissident right who have been, you know, in this fight for, you know, the past almost a decade now, and some of you even longer, to be able to see, you know, people like Kanye West and people like Jake Shields and Kim.com has started posting about this stuff, and now Elon Musk. And it's like, you know, as more and more people are sort of seeing that it's okay to speak the truth about the situation and to speak the truth about the things that are going on and about the people in power, it's going to get very interesting. So I think that, you know, stepping back and sort of observing this has sort of been bittersweet, because it's been such a battle, and so many of us have paid such a steep price for, you know, speaking this truth boldly. We've sacrificed so much. We've come under tremendous trials and persecution, but, you know, at the expense of truth. It's the truth, and so we cannot be afraid to speak the truth boldly, and we're starting to see the fruits of that labor. And I think we're only just beginning to see the fruits of that labor. And so, you know, where do we go from here? I think, you know, we have to be patient with people, because, and we have to sort of be careful, because when you sort of swallow this red pill, right, it's like you can sort of see a lot of people sort of going off the deep end with it. And we have to love one another and prevent people from sort of going, you know, way off the deep end with it. But at the same time, you know, we have to be patient with those who are just starting to come to the realization, because, you know, again, you have to understand that when you wake up from this and you start to sort of put the pieces together and notice the patterns, it's sort of jarring, right? And it turns your whole world upside down, and you sort of have to question, now what, right? I'm seeing this truth, so now what? Like, what do we do? My response to that has been continue to speak the truth boldly and build. I think building is the best thing that we can do. Building infrastructure, building businesses, you know, building communities, building our families first and foremost, you know, building our churches. This is how we can fight back against this stuff. Is we have to build our own things. It's just that simple. Things that we control that they do not. That's going to take, it's a long game. It's not something that's going to be accomplished overnight. I want to be clear. Nobody's calling for violence. Anybody that says that anybody's calling for violence is a liar. Nobody's calling for violence in response to the awakening of this truth. We're calling for people to build things. Okay. We want to build our own parallel Christian society, our own parallel Christian economy. One that is not controlled by a group of people who believe different things and have a different worldview than we do. That is diametrically opposed to our worldview. You know, what does the Bible say about the Antichrist? Now, this is something that a lot of people get wrong. They think that the Antichrist is sort of a singular person. there's a spirit of the Antichrist, and the spirit of the Antichrist is anyone who denies that Christ is Lord. And I'm sorry to say, this is the reality of the situation. Ethnic Jews who are not Christian reject Christ as Lord, and therefore they are Antichrist, according to the definition of the Bible. And so the question becomes, do we want people who are Antichrist in positions of power and authority in our country, in our media, in all of our major businesses, in commerce, and all of these things? And the answer to that is no, we don't. And I don't think that's a controversial take. I don't think that that is a hateful take. It's a truthful take, because we see the fruits of you know, look at our society, look around. They're transing kids. They're chopping the genitals off of kids. They're bombing kids in Gaza. Do we want people who believe in these things and take these type of actions? It's the behavior. It's not a hateful thing. Well, what is with this rise of hate? Well, it's people noticing the behavior, and they'll never take responsibility for the behavior. And that's a thing that, you know, they never want to talk about. They look around and they say, why am I getting all this hatred? And it's like, look at how you behave. It's just, you know, you never want to look in the mirror. You don't have any sort of semblance of self-reflection. It's the behavior that is, you're getting this response. And so if you stop the behavior, if you stop demonizing white people, if you stop demonizing Christians, if you stop, destroying our culture and destroying our history and doing all these things that are destructive, if the behavior stops, then, you know, the reaction, which you see as hatred, but is really just sort of a logical reaction to people noticing what's going on. Sorry, it's not hateful, but it's like, hey, this is happening, and I'm going to talk about it. And so if you want that to stop, you got to stop the behavior, right? And I think the best way for us to outreach to them is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. It's and speak the truth boldly. Hey, it's like talking to a child, right? If your kids are misbehaving, you sit down with them and you say, hey, I don't like this behavior. This is not good behavior. And, you open up the Bible and open up the scriptures and you say, this is what God has to say about this behavior. That should be our approach. You know, it's not something, again, it's not something that's hateful or coming from a place of malice, or, you know, it's certainly not promoting violence or anything like this, but it's speaking the truth boldly and talking about these things that people are too afraid to talk about, unfortunately, but that need to be said. So that's the reality of the situation. And I think we got a long road ahead of us. Again, it's a multi-generational thing, but we're starting to see it accelerate. It's compounding. People are noticing things at record speed here. And so, you know, as people who have noticed these things for many, many years now, we have a responsibility to be good stewards and be good leaders and to help people understand and to guide them in a good direction. We don't want people going in a path of violence. Nobody is advocating for that. We want to lean on God. We want to lean on the gospel. We want to lean on the Holy Spirit to guide us through coming to an understanding about this truth. We need to be diligent. We need to have discernment right now, because, you know, there's a lot of opportunities right now for things like false flags and things of that nature. And so we certainly need to condemn anybody that's promoting sort of violence in response to this is probably a Fed or is a plant or something of that nature. And so we need to not embrace that stuff, and we need to call that stuff out for sure. But, you know, we shouldn't stop speaking the truth boldly at the same time. You know, we need to be bold right now because time's ticking. You know, millions of people are pouring over our borders. You know, the economy is a mess. Families are a mess. People are a mess. I go out into society. I go out to the store and people just have this zombified look on their face. These dead eyes. And it makes me so sad. If only they knew how good things could be. If only you knew the transformative power of the Holy Spirit and of faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're watching this today, maybe that's you. Maybe you're black-pilled. I encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He loves you. Maybe you're Jewish and you're watching this. Maybe someone's passing around this clip or something. I encourage you to open up the New Testament, to read God's word, and to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and amazing, incredible things will happen in your life. So thank you guys for tuning in. Christ is King. Remember to speak freely.